Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. This week we're celebrating Hanukkah, and in keeping with our tradition here at English Corner, I'm going to read you a holiday story. Nona Maccabeus is a contemporary Hanukkah story written by the American Sephardic writer Gloria Davides Kirchheimer. Ms. Kirchheimer is the author of a novel, Amelie in Orbit, and a story collection based on Sephardic family life, Goodbye, Evil Eye, which was a finalist for the National Jewish Book Awards. Her short fiction has been published in a number of magazines, including the Antioch Review, Arts and Letters, North American Review, Persimmon Tree and Lilith, and in several anthologies, including Follow My Footprints, Lost Tribe, and Sephardic American Voices. In addition, her stories have been broadcast over National Public Radio. She's also co-author of a nonfiction book, We Were So Beloved, Autobiography of a German Jewish Community. Under the name Gloria Levy, she made one of the earliest recordings of Sephardic folk songs in the United States. The music that you're hearing on this program is from that album. This story, Nona Maccabeus, was published in National Public Radio's book, Hanukkah Lights, Stories of the Season, in 2005. Someone had the bright idea that the residents of the Coney Island Sephardic home would enjoy some entertainment on the first night of Hanukkah. The social director was ecstatic. She wore her wig as though it was a crown of office. My grandmother laughed at her behind her back. No sabe nada, she doesn't know anything, she said to me when I came for my weekly visit. But Nona, I said, she went to school, she knows all about working in a place like this. Mrs. Steinberg's Ph.D. meant nothing to my grandmother. Nona, who was never taught to read as a girl in Izmir, Turkey, was proud of my grandfather, a lay rabbi, because he knew how to read. And so do I, Nona, I said. She took her hand and put it on my stomach. Reading can make a woman crazy, she said. All you need to read are the signs and wonders. They will tell you to be fruitful and multiply. Ay, your grandfather was the light of my eyes, la luz de mis ojos. We were speaking in Ladino, the medieval Spanish we carried with us from Spain after the Inquisition and into the Ottoman Empire. Nona had taught me many proverbs and songs. She was humming one now as she rocked on the veranda. The Coney Island Sephardic home faced the boardwalk and the parachute jump. It was a warm day for December, and the smell of cotton candy wafted over us. But more importantly, one could smell the sea breezes, which were known to have curative powers. I held Nona's hand as she urged me to breathe. Our respirations were interrupted by the arrival of Mrs. Steinberg, or doctor, as she preferred to be called. She smiled at me and said to Nona, Ashena Madel. Dr. Steinberg had not yet caught on to the fact that the majority of the residents of the home were Sephardic and not Ashkenazi like her, and could not understand Yiddish. Spanish, yes. Greek, Arabic, Turkish, French, Armenian, certainly. Nona wagged her finger at the woman and quoted a proverb in Ladino to the effect that a closed mouth will keep out flies. Thanks, sweetie, the social director said to my 90-year-old grandmother. You be good now. They call her doctor, Nona said scornfully. Where is her white jacket? I knew that my grandmother had no faith in doctors, white jackets notwithstanding, and relied on a string of garlic tied around her waist to ward off the evil eye. I suspected from the telltale ridge around her middle that she was even now wearing such a belt. How she managed to procure enough garlic for the purpose was a mystery. She did hint that she was on excellent terms with the Hispanic kitchen workers, who would have had no difficulty understanding her. To them, she complained incessantly about the food. How she longed for some burecas, fritadas, bizcochos, good Sephardic home cooking. She blessed me when I finally learned how to make some of these dishes and brought her samples to taste.
Durme, durme, hermoso doncella. Durme, durme, sin ansia e dolor. Es tu esclavo que tanto desea ver tu sueño con grande amor, ver tu sueño con grande amor.
Seeing Nona slipping into a doze, I caught up with the social director. I heard, I said, that there'll be some entertainment next week for Hanukkah. Dr. Steinberg clasped her hands in devotion. The granddaughter of the president of the board of directors had offered to bring her little group of musicians to perform. They would do so at no charge. I asked if she had met them or perhaps heard a tape. Steinberg's hand flew to her mouth in horror. Oh, I couldn't do that, she said. It would be an insult to Mr. Ben Sr., the head of the board. I understood her position. The home was dependent on rich donors, and he was number one. But why have entertainment at all, I asked. Everyone likes a Hanukkah party, she said defensively. When I was a child, we had what we called a Hanukkah bush, and the kids got a present for each of the 8 days. For a moment, I was retroactively envious. As a Sephardic little girl, I had to be content with only one present for the holiday. Also, Dr. Steinberg continued, we can't have a repeat of what happened last year. The previous social director had presided over last year's Hanukkah and was fired immediately afterward. What happened was this. On the first night, each resident brought a menorah to the lounge. These were set on a long table, and one by one they were lit by their owners. Just as the last candle was lit, one resident, a Mr. Matalon, seized his menorah, a handsome, weighty silver object that had been in his family for generations, and refused to leave it with the others. Following the letter of the law, he was going to take it to his room and set it in the window so it could be seen by passers-by. We have those mesh curtains in every room, you can imagine, said Dr. Steinberg. A wrestling match ensued, during which two attendants were summoned to pry the elderly man's hands from his heirloom. In the course of the struggle, the menorah fell down and ignited the corner of a tablecloth. Thank goodness it was only the first night, Dr. Steinberg said, one candle plus the shamus. I was called in to interview for the social director's job the next day. I could see why she would want to erase the memory of last year's event with some entertainment.
Arbolitos de almendro que yo planté por los tus ojos verdulis. Dame la mano, niña, que yo por ti.
When I arrived at the home a week later, along with other relatives for the first night of Hanukkah, there didn't seem to be any evidence of an incipient conflagration. Mr. Matalon, last year's firebrand, had rejoined his ancestors. People were already beginning to step up to the large table where all the candelabra had been set, each with a name tag to avoid controversy. Every resident was invited to light a candle on his or her own menorah with the assistance of an aide or a relative. Nona's hand was surprisingly steady, and she brushed me away when I offered to help. Dr. Steinberg kept glancing at the door to the lounge. Where were the entertainers? Was she going to have to come up with an alternative to what had been scheduled? "When do we eat?" the aristocratic Mr. Obravanel said, banging on the ground with his cane. Great tufts of hair sprouted from his ears, which at this point in his life were purely ornamental, since he was stone deaf and refused to wear a hearing aid. "Quick," Nona whispered to me, "give me the lokmas you brought before he steals them." She started to pat me down, looking for the culinary treat, the Sephardic equivalent of latkes. Fortunately, at that moment, the door burst open, and a troop of young people came hurrying in laughing. The musicians at last. And here is what the elderly residents saw. A couple of young women with bare midriffs, despite the December weather, one of them sporting a twinkling belly button and tattoos up her arms, the other wearing a nose ring. Then there was a boy with one earring and a shaved head, wearing tight black leather. Another had dreadlocks, while the remaining boys, or maybe they were girls, were wearing scruffy sneakers and t-shirts. One of them had a large black hat on, the kind worn by some Hasidim. They carried a motley range of instruments. With an agonized smile, Dr. Steinberg introduced the leader, Dawn Ben Sr., who began by saying, "Like, this is so not us, being late and all, but the van..." She trailed off. The audience was getting restless. There was a lot of murmuring. A woman called out in Ladino, "Qué vergüenza! Shame on you!" "Okay, guys," Dawn said, "here's our hip-hop Hanukkah." Sound blasted out of the electric guitar while a bongo kept the beat. There was actually an oud, an ancient Middle Eastern instrument making noises never anticipated by the shepherds of Anatolia. The music seemed to be a cross between Israeli rock and Times Square subway music, particularly the kind you hear when you switch from the number one train to the BMT. I half expected the writhing of one of the musicians to turn into a breakdance. The audience applauded politely at the end of each number, but some of the women were tittering. I noticed that my grandmother had disappeared, but her cane was under her chair, which meant she intended to return. "Now, what about a sing-along?" Ms. Ben Sr. suggested. Just then, my grandmother appeared in the doorway, resplendent in a white silk outfit shot with gold and silver filigree. There were tassels at her wrists and at the hem of the garment. A fringe of gold coins hung from a silk cap over her forehead. In her hand, she held a tambourine. She raised it high and gave it a shake. The band whooped with delight. Everyone started clapping and shouting as though awakened from a stupor. In a quavering voice, Nona began singing a Hanukkah song in Ladino that I remembered from my childhood, and this time everyone joined in. Later, while helping Nona get out of her costume, which must have been over 100 years old, I congratulated her on her performance. "I did it for your grandfather of blessed memory. He was the light of my eyes," she said again to me. "The light of the candles reminds me of him." She folded up the silk costume carefully. The vest, the balloon pants, the sash, the open kaftan with its exquisite embroidery. "Now it's yours," she said. "But Nona," I said, "maybe next year..." She shook her head. I kissed her and promised to come back soon. Though she didn't realize it, my grandmother had penetrated the significance of Hanukkah. Aside from the consecrated oil, the candles that burned for 8 days, Hanukkah was the victory of the Jews against their Hellenistic Syrian oppressors. In her own way, Nona was the spiritual descendant of the Maccabees, who didn't give in to an alien culture. She was not going to be taken over, not by the Ashkenazim who controlled her daily activities, nor by the current youth culture. I think of her victory every time I light the candles.
La signorina au beaux yeux noirs, comme la luna était la sua faccia qui éclairait le boulevard, comme la luna était la sua faccia qui éclairait le boulevard. Volevo parlar cette matinée, because her father was a laga, et comme su ombre.
All of us here at Radio Sefarad wish all of you a very happy Hanukkah and invite you to participate with us in one of the many celebrations that are taking place in cities throughout Spain. We've included a list of them on this page. Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is English Corner at RadioSefarad.com. See you next week.